Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. And now I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're watching a Highwire Media podcast. Venom the Last Dance is looming over the domestic box office in its third weekend of release. The third and final installment in Sony's comic book trilogy added $16.2 million from almost 4,000 North American theaters, down 37% from the prior frame, and enough to lead over two newcomers, A24's horror thriller Heretic and Lionsgate's family-friendly The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. Although these new releases weren't able to topple Venom 3 from number 1, they opened on the higher end of expectations, thanks to word of mouth and the otherwise desolate movie theater landscape. Hollywood mostly avoided the post-election weekend out of concern that people wouldn't be paying attention to anything other than the presidential race. As a result, overall domestic box office revenues remained down more than 11% from 2023 and nearly 27% from 2019. This comes from ComScore. Heretic, featuring Notting Hill star Hugh Grant, playing against type as a villain, notched third place with $11 million from a little over 3,000 venues. Cat and Mouse Thriller follows two young Mormon missionaries, Sophie Thatcher and Chloe East, who make the grave mistake of knocking on the door of a reclusive Englishman. Critics dug the film, which holds a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, and its C-plus grade on CinemaScore isn't all that surprising for a horror story with a divisive ending. David A. Gross, who runs the consulting firm Franchise Entertainment Research, said, quote, "This is a very good opening for an original horror film. 2024 isn't the strongest year at the box office, but the horror genre is alive and fully engaging its young audience." A very different kind of religious parable, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, opened at number 2 with $11.1 million from over 3,000 locations. However, this number is skewed because it includes $2.2 million from last week's one-night-only sneak preview screening. A low-budget, faith-based film about six naughty siblings who take over the local church holiday pageant and learn the true meaning of Christmas has been roundly embraced by critics and audiences. Best Christmas Pageant Ever, directed by Dallas Jenkins and starring Judy Greer, Peter Holmes, and Lauren Graham, received an 89% average on Rotten Tomatoes and an A grade on CinemaScore. 2.5 weeks before Thanksgiving, the film is getting a jump on the other broad appeal holiday releases. Referring to Amazon's Christmas comedy, Red One, with Dwayne The Rock Johnson playing Santa's head of security on November 15th, followed by Paramount's Gladiator 2 and Universal's Wicked on November 22nd. With support, Best Christmas Pageant Ever has a chance of holding its own heading into strong Thanksgiving competition. The Last Dance has generated $114 million in North American, $394.2 million globally to date. Though it's falling short of other entries in the Tom Hardy-led symbiote saga, 2018's Venom powered $213 million domestically and $856 million globally, and 2021's Let There Be Carnage ended with $213 million domestically and $506 million worldwide. This entry will be decently positioned in its theatrical run against its $120 million budget. Elsewhere, at the domestic box office, Universal and DreamWorks Animation's The Wild Robot dropped to fourth place with $6.6 million from a little over 3,000 theaters in its seventh weekend on the big screen. The well-reviewed family film has endured at the box office with minimal week-to-week drops. This weekend was down only 11%, earning $130.2 million domestically and $292 million worldwide so far. Paramount's pop star parable Smile 2 rounded out the top 5 with $5 million from nearly 3,000 locations, declining just 26% from the prior weekend. After 4 weekends on the big screen, R-rated sequel to 2022's Thriller Smile has generated $60.5 million in North America and $123.6 million globally. It cost $28 million and will become profitable, but the original was bigger, with $105 million in North America and $217 million globally. Also of note here, a fantasy drama that uses AI so Tom Hanks and Robin Wright can play younger and older versions of themselves, stumbled to the number 8 spot with $2.4 million its second weekend release. Meanwhile, the film Conclave enjoyed another strong showing with $4.1 million from 22,200 theaters, enough for 6th place. The adult skewing film, a Vatican set drama from Focus Features, has grossed a solid $21.5 million after 3 weekends, with New York and other East Coast markets bringing in the biggest audience. Conclave has truly been a standout among award seasons, according to ComScore analyst Paul. I'm going to butcher his name, so I'm just going to call him Paul D. End quote. An ideal release date and a slow rollout position the film perfectly for continued success throughout the holiday and award seasons. Let me know what you thought of this weekend's box office numbers. And now on to our next topic. Jack Ryan movie is in development with John Krasinski and two other original stars returning for the film. Jack Ryan movie is in the works. The Prime Video action series starring John Krasinski as the analyst is adapted from the book series of the same name by Tom Clancy. Installments which have previously adapted into multiple movies in various continuities, including The Hunt for Red October starring Alec Baldwin and The Sum of All Fears starring Ben Affleck. Jack Ryan season 5 was never renewed, leading the show to conclude with its season 4 finale in 2023. Amazon MGM Studios has announced that John Krasinski is set to reprise the role of Jack Ryan in an upcoming movie. He'll be joined by Wendell Pierce as his TFAB boss James Greer. Michael Kelly is also in talks to reprise the role of Venezuelan station chief Mike November, who first appeared in Season 2. Season 2 director and executive producer Andrew Bernstein will helm the project, which was penned by Season 4 writer and co-executive producer Aaron Rabin. The movie is being produced in association with Paramount Pictures, and Skydance's Andrew Form is producing the movie alongside John Kelly, Carlton Cuse, Skydance's David Ellison, and Dana Goldberg. And Sunday Night's Krasinski, in addition to executive producing the original show, Form previously collaborated with Krasinski on his directorial efforts, A Quiet Place, If, and A Quiet Place Part 2. In addition to confirming the continuation of the four-season show, which ranks among Prime Video's 3 most-watched series globally, this announcement cements the universe of the show as the broadest unified continuity adapted from the Tom Clancy novels, extending far beyond the scope of the previous Jack Ryan movies, with the most consistent outings being the 2 Red October follow-ups featuring Harrison Ford in the role. The fact that so many members of the Jack Ryan cast and crew are returning seems to be a guarantee that the movie will be a continuation of the show, both in terms of its storyline and its overall tone. Additionally, the presence of 2 returning cast members and possibly Michael Kelly could mean the additional stars from the original show will sign on before long. The show featured quite a few major cast members who could return either in the main storyline or in flashbacks, including Abbey Cornish, Betty Gabriel, Michael Pena, and others. The announcement of the Jack Ryan movie cements the fact that Amazon, MGM Studios, and Prime Video tend to develop interconnected movie and TV universes featuring some of their most popular IP. While most of these announced universes have not yet come to fruition, including a Tomb Raider franchise, this continuation of the massively popular Krasinski show could be a flagship universe that leads to the creation of many others, if it succeeds. And now on to our next topic. Joker 2 actor has called the DC sequel the worst film that has ever been made. Even those involved with making Joker 2 thinks it's a bad film. Case in point, Tom Dillon played a guard at the Arkham Asylum in Joker 2. The actor, comedian, and podcaster has been speaking openly about his disdain for the sequel film, which has crashed and burned at the box office and has been dumped on the digital streaming platforms less than a month after being released in theaters. It's the worst film that has ever been made. It's actually not so bad, it's the worst film ever made, Dillon emphasized while on the Joe Rogan podcast. I think what happened after the first Joker, there was a lot of talk like, oh, this was loved by incels. It was loved by the wrong kinds of people. This sent the wrong kind of message. All these pieces, and then I think, what if we went the other way? And now that we have Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga tap dancing to a point where it's insane, it has no plot, not even hate watchable. That's how terrible it is. Dillon went on to describe how the larger crew of background actors and extras were baffled throughout production on Joker 2. trying to discern what director Todd Phillips intended. He went on to say, quote, "We would sit there, me and these other guys were all dressed in these security outfits because we were working at the Arkham Asylum. I'd turn to one of them and we'd hear this crap and I'd go, 'What the fuck is this?' And they'd go, 'This is going to bomb, man.' I go, 'This is the worst thing I've ever—' We were talking about it at lunch and we'd go, 'What is the plot? Is there a plot? I don't know.' I think he falls in love with her in the prison." The sequel clearly signals to the viewer that Phillips and Joaquin Phoenix were not pleased with the original film's success. The underlying point of Joker that no one cares about in Arthur Fleck but will idolize a madman in clown paint was almost hilariously validated by a $1 billion box office and multiple Oscar wins, making career heights for Phillips and Phoenix all on the strength of Batman lore that had been so loosely draped over the film. Joker 2 made it unabashedly, awkwardly, and even painfully clear that Phillips and Phoenix view Oscar bait movies and comic book movies with equal levels of cynicism. It's hard to look at Joker 2, see any kind of earnest attempt to expand or improve upon the first film. It's easier to see a punchline in which Phillips and Phoenix took public pressure from the studio and a misguided fanbase and used the money to make a mockery of everything they'd done before. And now we continue on with our news of continued disappointment of Joker 2, with even the Warner Brothers Discovery CEO calling Joker 2 disappointing. Inconsistency was the word of the day during the Warner Brothers Discovery earnings. CEO David Zaslav acknowledged that the company's film business has been hit or miss lately, with Joker 2 being disappointing. Inconsistency also remains an issue at our motion picture studio, as reinforced recently by the disappointing results of Joker 2, which he said during the earnings call. He did not give further details, but we can expect to hear more about exactly how disappointing those results were on the company's next earnings call, which will include that impact. His remarks relate back to WB's issues with film inconsistency over the last year. Dune 2 and Godzilla Kong were hits early this year, but Furiosa and Mad Max Saga bombed at the box office. The Watchers was critically punished.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
How to have fun, anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Panned in the films like Beetlejuice, and Twisters did well enough, but couldn't match the success of Barbie at the same time last year. Taken as a whole, Warner Brothers' film slate has been a bit all over the place. Calling Joker 2's results disappointing may be a bit of an understatement too. Joker 2 launched in October to a weekend box office of just $37.8 million domestically, less than half of the first Joker's $96.2 million opening. Matters did not improve from there, with the film dipping further in its second weekend to just $7 million domestically, falling to the number 3 box office spot as Terrifier debuted at number 1. It almost immediately raced to DVD and Blu-ray less than a month opening weekend. I wasn't exactly in love with Joker 2, saying it's a as I've said, it wastes its potential as a movie musical, courtroom drama, and a sequel that has anything meaningful to say or add to the first Joker. And while I didn't do a full review, I would have given it a 5 out of 10. However, not everyone panned it. Infamous film lover Hideo Kojima has said he thinks its reputation will change over the next few decades, and Quentin Tarantino unironically loves the movie. Warner Brothers Discovery reported quarter 3 revenue of $9.6 billion, down 3% year over year. Theatrical revenue was down 40% year over year due to lower box office performance of Beetlejuice, and Twisters compared to Barbie last year. We won't see the financial impact of Joker 2 reflected in the results until next earnings, as it launched in the current quarter of October. We've also noticed Warner Brothers Discovery is substantially underperforming games business as well, and Warner Brothers plans to turn it around. Its streaming business is doing better, adding 7.2 million subscribers in the third quarter. Now let me know your thoughts on Joker 2. Do you think it was a disaster, or did you actually like watching it? And now, on to some more disappointing news. Star Wars fans have rolled their eyes as Disney plans another trilogy, bringing unreleased films up to 14. Disney has yet another trilogy of Star Wars films in the work, and some fans are getting a bit sick of perpetual announcements with no releases. With the number of planned films now totaling 14, and the number of those with release dates, never mind trailers or titles, totaling 1. X-Men producer Simon Kinberg is now writing and producing a trilogy of Star Wars films that will act as the beginning of a new saga, planned to release alongside the wealth of other announced films. But despite Disney's releasing no films in the franchise since the universally panned Star Wars Episode 9 in 2019, word of new Star Wars films no longer brings excitement for many films who are instead left rolling their eyes. That's because Disney now has more than a dozen films announced, with just as many lacking any sort of title, release date, footage, casting, or anything else to suggest a film is actually coming. Disney has also canceled several films in that time, such as one from Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige, and others. What remains is a Mandalorian sequel called The Mandalorian and Grogu, an Episode 9 sequel starring Daisy Ridley, a film about the Dawn of the Force from Logan, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny director James Mangold, and a film about the culmination of Star Wars shows such as Ahsoka from Dave Filoni. Also coming is a film from Thor Ragnarok director Taika Waititi, one from Deadpool and Wolverine director Sean Levy, an entire trilogy from Rian Johnson, and a Donald Glover starring Lando Calrissian film, and another from Wonder Woman director Patty Jenkins. With these 11 films not enough, Disney is now working with Kinberg on this new trilogy. On Reddit, one user said, quote, "I can't wait to hear nothing else about this project for 2 years, until we get the big exciting update that Kinberg has left, and Lucasfilm is searching for a new writer." Another user said, quote, "Here we go again. How long do we want to bet before this trilogy is canned as well?" Another post outlined the 14 apparently incoming films, saying, quote, "Really looking forward to Untitled Star Wars Project, but I wouldn't mind if Untitled Star Wars Project doesn't end up happening. It's really hard for me to take any of these announcements seriously when we've had absolutely zero traction on any other rumored movies." Mandalorian and Grogu film is the only one definitely happening, as Disney actually released footage at this year's D23 event and even gave it a release date, though fans believe the three movies announced at Star Wars Celebration are also likely candidates. This includes the next most talked about film, Episode 9 sequel starring Ridley as Rey Skywalker, rebuilding the Jedi Order 15 years later. It appeared to be making steady progress, with Ridley and director Charmin, apologies for butchering this name, Shinoy, commenting on it semi-regularly, but it reportedly lost its screenwriter in October as Peaky Blinders creator Stephen Knight departed. Mangold and Filoni's films are the other two, though practically nothing has been said about these since the announcement, despite Lucasfilm president Kathleen Kennedy saying they were both pretty far along in development at the time. Elsewhere, Waititi's film is apparently making slow and steady progress, as it's not expected until around 2030. Sean Levy's film is in a similar boat, though reportedly picked up a writer in July, and Johnson's trilogy isn't even in active development. Lando was originally planned as a spin-off show, but it's now being developed as a sequel and has similarly received no significant updates. Finally, Jenkins had a Rogue Squadron movie announced before it was canceled due to her commitments to Wonder Woman 3, but as that film was canceled itself, Jenkins said she still owes Disney a Star Wars script, and thus sparked hope that Rogue Squadron is back in development. Let me know, are you excited for another round of Star Wars films, or are you like everybody else and not really interested in what Disney is offering right now? On to our next topic. Fallout Season 2 has cast, that's right, Home Alone star Macaulay Culkin as a crazy genius type character. A highly anticipated second season of Prime Video's Fallout just added another big name to its cast. According to Deadline, Macaulay Culkin has joined Season 2 of the video game adaptation in a recurring role. Details are a little scant, but per the article, he's said to be playing a crazy genius type character. As the report notes, Macaulay Culkin, who of course broke out as a child star in Home Alone, has already been working with Prime Video, voicing a character in animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy. He reportedly, his reported casting is one of the few bits of information we've gotten about Season 2, which was swiftly ordered after Fallout became a huge hit for Prime Video. It drew an absolute massive 65 million viewers in the first 16 days, according to Amazon's own numbers, becoming the second most watched show on Prime Video. It drew interest back in the game series as well, with Microsoft CEO saying earlier this year that it spurred a near 5-time jump in hours played for the franchise on Game Pass. As for when we can expect to see Culkin and his Mad Genius character in Season 2, we're not sure about that yet. Showrunners previously assured fans that they're going as fast as we possibly can in regards to getting Season 2 out the door, so hopefully it won't be too long. In the meantime, we'd like to remind you that my thoughts about Fallout Season 1 was a bright and funny apocalypse filled with dark punchlines and bursts of ultra-violence. Fallout is among the best video game adaptations ever made. And unfortunately, we have to talk about another movie that failed badly. According to Lionsgate CEO, Borderlands movie, quote, saying nearly everything that could go wrong did go wrong. The tone surrounding Lionsgate's quarterly earnings report on Thursday was a somber one. The studio CEO didn't mince words when talking about some of its recent missteps. Releasing this past August after a long development and production period, Borderlands quickly became an inarguable flop, ending its box office run with a dismal $31 million worldwide. CEO John Feltheimer said, quote, on Borderlands, nearly everything that could go wrong did go wrong. It sat on the shelf for too long during the pandemic. Reshoots and rising interest rates took it outside the safety zone of our usually strict financial models. He added that several of their other releases in the quarter, though cushioned by financial models that worked as intended, didn't live up to either our standards or our projection. Likely referencing the studio's remake of The Crow, which topped at just about $50 million worldwide. He told investors that the box office disappointments reflected an environment with less margin for error than ever before. Although he did express more hope for the future, specifically he brought up films like next year's John Wick spin-off Ballerina, as well as a new Hunger Games film coming in 2026. The CEO's comments are only the latest recent reflection on the now fairly infamous Borderlands film. On the game side, Take-Two CEO was less doom and gloom, previously telling IGN, quote, obviously that movie was disappointing. That said, it actually sold more catalog, so I don't think it hurt at all if anything. I think it might have helped a little bit. Lionsgate reported a loss of $163.3 million in its quarterly earnings, revenue at $948.6 million, down from $1 billion from the same period a year ago. In the investor document, Feltheimer acknowledged that the earnings were disappointing and pointed to a transitional, disrupted, and difficult year for our industry. After watching Borderlands, I would consider it a catastrophic disappointment that played like hacked-to-pieces studio slop, betraying everything fans adore about Gearbox Software's franchise in derivative, regrettable fashion. With that, let me know your thoughts on today's episode and the topics we covered. If there's something we missed, let us know in the comments section below. Of course, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/cinemagold. As always, your support helps support the channel so we can upgrade our equipment, bring in new hosts, be able to pay them, and one day take this show on the road. As always, your support is appreciated. That it's $1, $20, $50, $100, however much you give, completely appreciated. We know today's world, not many people can support the channel. We appreciate any amount you give. As always, if you want to show us other ways of support, give us a channel if you like, or give us a thumbs up if you like our channel. Hit that subscribe button down below, the bell notification button to be notified of future videos, like our upcoming review of, Brooklyn Nine-Nine Season 5, which you can catch on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.